The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Krejci elevates the backhand to hold it over to McAvoy, looking for a tip. Krejci rips it. Giotto with great hands in front, the little nudge. And the Bruins have seven. David Krejci with his fourth career hat trick.
And then they had eight. It's been a while since we heard Jack Edwards' voice here. Welcome back. Welcome to the weekend. It is game night, Habs and Islanders in Brooklyn tonight on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick along with Mitch Gallo. Dave Trentadue sitting in for Rod Francis, who's in Savannah, Georgia. And he will be back on Monday. How about that? Brian Gionta with two assists in his Bruins debut. Krejci with a hat trick. They beat the Penguins 8-4. Habs in Boston tomorrow afternoon at 5.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Well, Pierre Maguire prepares for another outdoor event. How you doing?
I'm very well, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Where are you right now as we speak?
I am in my hotel room in Annapolis, Maryland, sir.
Oh, you are in Maryland. Okay.
I am.
What's the nicest thing about Annapolis, Maryland?
It takes you back in history. The Naval Academy is spectacular. It is worth it. Anybody that's a buff of history, just to walk the grounds. They call it the yard. To walk the yard at the Naval Academy is spectacular. Downtown Annapolis is off the charts great. It reminds you a lot of old Montreal. You know, obviously smaller version, but very similar to old Montreal, old the port in old Quebec. Annapolis is beautiful. And I've been coming here a long time. When I coached in Pittsburgh, we used to play Washington in the playoffs all the time. And we used to stay here because the old building, for those that are younger, won't remember this, but the old building in Washington wasn't in Washington. It was in Landover, Maryland, which is very close to Annapolis. So we used to stay in Annapolis, and we used to eat at a place called Reardon's, which was owned and managed at the time by Mike Reardon, who was a great basketball player with the Baltimore Bullets and the Washington Bullets. That was the name of the basketball team back then. They had changed it, obviously, to the Wizards, but it used to be called the Baltimore Bullets and then the Washington Bullets. So I've got great memories of Annapolis, and you know, I've been very, very fortunate to spend time here, and I love it here.
Yeah. So we got Pierre in historic Annapolis. We have Rod in historic Savannah, Georgia. The Canadiens are playing in historic Boston tomorrow as people try to shovel out of what's about to hit them in Boston. Any issue there, the weather?
You know what? It's in Annapolis. No, I'd say just wind. This will remind me a lot, I think, of what we went through back in 09-10 at the outdoor game. And if you remember in Chicago, between Chicago and Detroit, it was an unbelievably windy game. That's where I had the call about Pavel Datsyuk got blown right through the Chicago defense for a breakaway goal. It was a magical moment that I'll never forget. Just the wind pushed him right through the coverage. And I want to think it was Seabrook and Keith who were the defensemen at the time, but I won't forget how quickly Datsyuk went right through the defense. It was amazing. The wind just picked up at the right time and helped them. So we'll have some of that tomorrow, but we shouldn't have any precipitation tomorrow.
Yeah, the old, remember that, what was it, a ketchup? Anticipation. Yeah. That was a Carly Simon song, Anticipation. Yeah. The ketchup coming out of the bottle. So again, not to be confused with the Outdoor Classic, this is part of the Stadium Series. What time is game time tomorrow?
On the big NBC at 8 o'clock.
8 p.m. Tomorrow night. So it should look beautiful. Right after the Habs and Bruins game, is you can flip over and see that. Before we get to the Habs, Pierre, you heard the Bruins, Krejci, right, with an 8-4 over Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And now they're in second place. And we mentioned their tough schedule down the stretch here. So this, how do you see them vis-a-vis the Leafs behind Tampa there? How do you see it?
Well, home ice is going to matter. If it's a Boston-Toronto series, I really believe home ice will matter. And I think that's what Boston's probably pushing for. I don't know if they think they can catch Tampa or not. I think realistically they can, but I think they're probably gauging it. They don't want to overhype their goal. They're disappointed going into the playoffs. I think their goal is to probably say we want to be a home ice team for our first-round playoff series. That's probably the best way for them to approach it as a coaching staff and a management team. So I say realistically, yeah, they can be a home ice team. And number one, look at the amount of games they have left to play versus Toronto. They have more games left to play. And Toronto's, you know, outdoor games are tough. And Toronto's got to play one. And then to bounce back and play an indoor game after an outdoor game, that's really tough at this time of the year. So I'd say that they've got a pretty good situation going on in Boston.
Bruins have four games in hand. So Florida won again, and this is a team I find myself rooting for because of the developments in Parkland.
Right.
And I root for Roberto Luongo, who's had trouble the last couple of years staying healthy. They're certainly on a roll. They've won four in a row. Mm-hmm. They've moved to within 3 points of Columbus, and they host Buffalo tonight. Carolina's squeezed in between those two teams. Do you see Florida continuing this? Can they get in? Or when you look at the standings, the way they are right now today on Friday, do you look at them and go, this is how they're probably going to end up?
Well, here's the biggest thing. They have no wiggle room, so they don't have a lot of room for error. They've got to take care of their home record. And I think Roberto alluded to some of that last night post-game. They have to have virtually perfect performances from their goaltending and also from Alex Barkov, who was great last night. And he's one of the better players in the league. You know, again, he doesn't get a lot of exposure, but I can tell you he's one of the better players in the league. And they need him to be almost flawless, and they can't afford any injuries on the back end. So it's going to be tight for them. I could see it if they can continue this pace. So let's say they could win out of every five games, they can win three of those five and get a loser point in another one, then I think they legitimately can do it. If not, I think it's going to be really tough.
And you get to see Washington tomorrow night, like we've been talking about. And Pierre, I look at the standings. This is funny. So Pittsburgh's dealing with the goaltending issues. Murray practiced today. Hopefully for them, he's going to be good to go. But New Jersey has a game in hand, and they're 2 points back. If Jersey passes Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh will match up with Washington in the first round. If you're a Capitals fan, you got to be saying, Pittsburgh again in the first round? You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm with you, Mitch Gallo. It's such a good point, and it's really well researched by you. No, here's the thing. I really believe this, too, and it has nothing to do with Pittsburgh and Washington. I really want to see them go one plays eight, two plays seven, three plays six, four plays five.
Yeah, I missed that, too.
This is outrageous because I think fans are going to lose interest because every year you're virtually having the same showdowns. Change it up. And that's the only way you're going to be able to change it up, I think, is one playing eight, two playing seven, three playing six, four playing five. I really believe
that. The Bridgeport Sound Tigers have made
what's going on here? Whose is that? Just point. Is it Gallo or me? It's me? All right. Apologize for that intrusion, Pierre.
Bridgeport Sound Tigers, that's my hometown team. That's right near me.
So what I wanted to ask you is... I completely lost my train of thought. Taylor Hall. No, Taylor Hall in that game. Taylor Hall extended his streak to 16 games. Obviously, a lot has to do with whether they stay in the playoffs, but how much of a legit Hart Trophy candidate is he at this point?
He's definitely in the discussion. Had he not been injured, and he was injured, you know, probably around 3 weeks ago, I think he would have been one of the guys that everybody would have been talking about. He's been just phenomenal. And the relationship he has on the ice with Nico Hischier, the first-round pick out of Halifax, has been phenomenal. I'm telling you, they're magical to watch together. I've seen them live. I've watched them practice. I've, you know, obviously watched most of their games on TV outside of time when I was in Korea. So they've been great, and it's really, I think it's phenomenal to watch him play at the tempo that he's playing at right now.
Who else would you put in there at this point in terms of MVP?
I think there are a lot of guys. I think you could look at Vasilevsky down in Tampa, that being one who I think you could look at a bunch of guys with Nashville. And say that guy's a legitimate MVP candidate. You can go around the league. I think you could look at somebody from Winnipeg and say, you know what, that guy's an MVP. I think you can go around. I think you could look at, there are a lot of guys that I think are in the MVP. I don't think it's solid where you say, oh, that guy's definitely the MVP of the league. I think there are a bunch of guys who could be the MVP of the league this year.
Yeah, you talk about Winnipeg. I mean, I got to give a vote to Blake Wheeler out of Winnipeg. They're talking like he's the best captain in the league.
No, that's what I mean. You can go around the league. There's guys that you just say, wow, he could be an MVP. I'm convinced if Scheifele hadn't got hurt, Scheifele would be in that discussion. So there's a lot of guys you could look at around the league this year and say, MVP, MVP.
We'll get to the Habs in Brooklyn. And by the
way, speaking of Boston, yeah. Patrice Bergeron, but he's hurt now.
Yeah, and so he's hurt for a while.
Back to the pack, you know what I mean? Yeah. But Brad Marchand hurt. Had he not been hurt, could he be MVP? Yeah, probably could. So there's a lot of guys in the discussion.
In about 30 minutes from now, we're going to make contact with Stan Fischler, who has announced his retirement at the end of this season from television. Stan, it's hard to believe watching him as frequently as a lot of us do that he's 85 years of age.
Amazing.
He's still incredibly sharp. So we're going to talk to Stan for the last time working a Habs game in Brooklyn on television. But before I get to the Habs, Pierre, we've had the Rangers letter, and now we have the Melnick letter, Melnick with a Y, Eugene Melnick. Putting his name on a letter to Ottawa Senators fans saying, kind of what the Rangers said. We're going to get younger. We're going to get faster. We're going to get more skilled. We're going to rebuild. It's going to be challenging. But our commitment to win the Stanley Cup remains the same. Was there anything specifically in that letter that you saw that stood out to you?
It didn't say we were going to get cheaper.
When I came on board,
usually when you go young and you go faster, you're also going cheaper.
But they're already there. They've never been a cap team.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you're an Ottawa Senator fans and you know you get a lot of crossover listenership at this time of the day from Ottawa, and they are amazingly good and passionate fans. I know Montreal fans don't want to hear that. I'm telling you, I worked in Ottawa. I lived in Ottawa. I do Ottawa radio every day like I do Montreal radio. Those fans are awesome. They are awesome, awesome fans, and they love hockey. And I'm just telling you right now, Erik Karlsson, if he gets traded out of there, and I think that may be something that letter may be alluding to, that could be problematic. If they were to make a deal, it better be the mother of all deals. It better be a gigantic hit. Or if it's not, it could be a problem.
Oh, this, you know, it's not a similar situation because the franchise is not in peril. But it reminds me of the Expos trading Pedro. But there was no warning. We had the opposite. We were told specifically, we will not, after all the star players were sent out, we will not trade Pedro Martinez. And they did after we won a Cy Young. And a lot of us said, that's it. We're not going into our pockets to support you guys anymore. As a team, we need to get younger, faster, and more skilled. We have already announced several key steps to making that happen. I remain committed to investing what is needed to identify, draft, and develop the players that embody what it means to be an Ottawa Senator. We have a strong foundation of players on this team and in the pipeline ready to contribute. To me, he's attempting to soften the blow ahead of a Karlsson trade.
Well, we didn't rehearse that. That's exactly what I saw it as. And that wasn't written by him. That was written by a PR person.
Of course, yeah.
And I will tell you this, that PR person is not aware of Alex Formanton, not aware of Batherson, not aware of Shabbat, not aware of, players that are coming through that pipeline that they're alluding to. If they really knew the players that they had internally in that pipeline, they would have said it. Colin White, another one. So that's written by a PR person who probably isn't aware of the players. That's pretty apparent. Because if I were writing that in an organization, I would want to make sure the fans had name brand recognition. Here's two guys who were part of Canada's gold medal winning World Junior team in Formanton and Batherson. Here's one guy who was MVP of the World Junior a year ago, Shabbat. Here's a guy that was part of a gold medal winning U.S. Team in Colin White. So rather than just put, we've got players in the pipeline, that means nothing.
What I'd like to know, and I honestly don't know the answer, and it would probably require some research to discover a decent answer. When any team in pro sports has traded a Hall of Famer, which one has gotten equal value in return for that Hall of Famer?
Now I'm just going to say this out of respect. I was part of a trade where two Hall of Famers were traded the same time in the same deal. And it was Paul Coffey and Mark Recchi. And there weren't a lot of people in that office. It was Craig Patrick, Rick Patterson, Rick Keogh, Barry Smith, Scotty Bowman, and myself. That's it. Those were the only people in that room. So if it ever leaked And we knew who leaked it. It was somebody in that came out of that room. It was not a massive amount of people. And the most eloquent part of that discussion was Scotty Bowman. And Scotty basically looked at Craig and said, if we do this deal, can we, as an organization, afford the potential of the PR hit that we're going to take? Because we're trading away two unbelievably popular and very important players who just helped us win the Cup in 91 in Recce and Coffee. One guy had his own nickname, the Wrecking Ball, and then that was, at that time, was unbelievably popular in Pittsburgh, like beyond belief popular. And Coffee was a surefire Hall of Famer. Everybody knew that. They didn't know that about Recce at the time. And Craig Patrick said, we can endure the hit because we're going to win the Cup again if we add these two players. And we added three. We actually added a goalie. We actually added a great defenseman in Chel Samuelson, who was critically important in our run. And we added one of the toughest right wingers at the time in the league in Rick Tocchet. So we were actually adding good players. But
you added grit. You added grit.
Team building. It was a team building exercise. But Scotty's, I think, point was so well taken. You know, he asked the poignant question, can we as an organization overcome the potential PR hit if we're not successful? And Craig had the great answer.
Well,
we can if we win the Cup.
Which you did the next year. Yeah. You won the next year. And then, of course, it looked like the Penguins were set up as a dynasty, and we know what happened in 93. And since you took me there, I was planning to end, we're not ready to end yet with Pierre. I want to get to the game tonight involving the Canadiens. But 25 years ago, Pierre, 25 years ago tonight.
Will be at center to start this game. There was some question whether or not he would be a winger or a center tonight. Fans on their feet, a standing ovation. Sundin will take the draw against him, Matt Sundin, and Mario Lemieux is playing for the first time since April 26 of 1997. 3 years and almost 9 months to the day. Both of these teams coming off games last night. Toronto, 5-3 losers in Atlanta. Buffalo, a loser to these Pens. Herdina, cover! It went in! Hang on! Del McCreary is not signaled goal! Boy, that sure looks like...
Well, that's not 93.
That's not 93.
That is not 93. That's the other time he came back.
That's when he made his comeback.
Yeah.
And I was actually sent to do that by TSN. So I actually went down. That's when we didn't have the rights. So all I did was file reports back to TSN. But I'll never forget that night as well. That was a spectacular
night. All right,
night.
So forget it. I apologize for that. We had the wrong thing queued up here. But so let's get to the Canadiens and Islanders in Brooklyn tonight, as the Islanders are, you know,
scuffling.
Teetering here.
Yeah, they're scuffling. We talked about it the other night before they played Montreal, and you could see it. Their defense isn't very good. They internally overrated their defense unbelievably, and their goaltending is not very consistent, as you saw the other night. And they didn't utilize the waiver or the expansion draft very well in terms of their protected list. And now they've traded Jason Chimera for Chris Wagner, which they probably could have done something else with Chimera earlier. So it's kind of a fouled up situation. They have no wiggle room at all. Their schedule is really tough. So this is a hugely important game for the Islanders if they want to stay legitimate in the playoff hunt.
And Jacob DeLaRose, who's looking better and better the last couple of games, he was playing between Gallagher and Byron. Interesting that they've moved Gallagher up to play alongside Drouin with Galchenyuk, and DeLaRose to start with gets Sherbach and Paul Byron.
Well, that is interesting. I would say that probably when you don't get last change on the road, there's probably something to that there. And I think they probably want to get a little bit of energy to play with Drouin, and so that's what Brendan brings. So that's an interesting little thing to pay attention to tonight.
Dan Robertson, Sergio Mimeso, and a reminder that Sean Campbell has a night off tonight, so it'll be Mitch Gallo right here working with Mike Kelly in between periods and on the Delmore postgame show. Anything for Pierre?
Yeah, I guess, you know, we saw Mike Riley's first game the other night, Pierre, and Jordy Benn's going to be a healthy scratch. He played with Riley in game number one. I'm just wondering about, the guy plays two games and he's got two different partners already.
It's a fair question. It shouldn't be that big a deal because Mike's such a good skater, so that shouldn't be that big a deal. I thought he had a really good first game. I think we talked about it. The biggest thing with Mike, I can tell you, confidence. If he has confidence, he's going to do well. If he gets his confidence broken, he's going to regress, and he'll regress quickly because he'll try to do too much, and he'll get himself into trouble. So that's where maybe your point is well-founded. You know, having somebody that it can rely on and really trust as a partner. And one of the ways you build that up is with consistency in terms of who your partner is.
Just trying to go out there and just play and not think too much. But obviously, you know, since the systems are a little bit different, you got to keep that in mind for sure.
All right, so we're going to take you right to the broadcast. That's Mike Riley there, Canadians and Islanders tonight. A reminder again, early 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. start in Boston tomorrow. When you're done with that, you can tune in and turn out. Dropout. NBC Television. It is the Stadium Series game, and it's going to look great.
Yeah, it's going to look fantastic. You know what? I got to share you a little bit of history here at the Naval Academy. I went to the practice rink very early this morning. They couldn't practice outside because of the winds here. And I spent a lot of time with Mike Babcock and with Lou Lamoriello. And the rink, the practice rink, is actually a beautiful rink. It would never remind you of a practice rink, but it's named after Dr. McMullen, who used to own the New Jersey Devils. And Lou Lamoriello was telling stories about Dr. McMullen. They worked together for 14 years. Dr. McMullen was a proud Naval Academy graduate and an extremely successful man. And Lou told some great stories about Dr. McMullen today. It was an awesome history lesson. But the superintendent of the Naval Academy, he's a legendary, military man and was a fighter pilot. And you know what his call sign is, Mitch? It's awesome. He's a big, big Washington Capitals fan. His name is Ted Carter. His call sign when he was in the plane, you know how in Top Gun it's Goose and Maverick and all these guys? His call sign is Slapshot.
There's a hockey nut for you.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time visiting today with Superintendent Carter. He's an awesome, awesome guy. But he says, yeah, my call sign is Slapshot. I'm like, that's awesome. That is great.
A lot more hockey history coming up in a few minutes with Stan Fischler. Thanks, Pierre. We'll be watching tomorrow. Talk about it on Monday.
Thanks so much, Mitch. I appreciate the week. Really appreciate everything you guys have done to reach out to find me, especially when I was in Korea. And please give my best to Stan Fischler. Very, very nice man. Very nice.